Everybody believes in something. As a church, we have a set of beliefs. But you know full well that beliefs that you hold and give your mind assent to it and you agree with them do not necessarily automatically translate into who you are as a person. Typically, there would be, and there is a difference between the lofty ideals of belief and the virtues of your character. There always typically is a discrepancy between the ideal of belief and the embodiment of that belief in a character of a person. So, as I said, beliefs do not automatically equal the character. But they need to turn into character. They need to turn into a virtue. They need to have the legs. Somebody said that the best argument for Christianity are Christians, and the worst argument against Christianity is Christians. So both of those are true. So if beliefs do not get their legs and don't turn into virtue or a character, they don't have a great value, do they? But how does that happen? The way it happens is through a spiritual discipline or through spiritual practice. And we talked so far in our series on Back to Basics about the prayer being that discipline that turns your belief into a virtue and a character. But today we are going to talk about the Word of God and using the Word of God through spiritual discipline to turn your beliefs into a virtue or into a character. So, obvious question we are asking, how can this be done? How can this be done? There are three principles I really believe that can do this in our lives. And they are all equally important. Number one, we need to recognize the authority to which we have to subject ourselves heartily and willingly, and that is the authority of the Bible in our lives. We need to recognize the authority of the Bible in our lives. Number two, we need to access the power of the Word. First, recognize and accept the authority of the Word, then access the power of it. And number three, we need to discover the secret of the Word. The secret of the Word. So, if you want your beliefs to have their legs, which is in your character and in what you become, in the virtues of who you become as a person, it can be achieved and it is achieved through the discipline of prayer. And we talked about prayer so far. The prayer which is free when you drive, but also prayer which is disciplined, where you set aside time for it. Time for it. But the next one is the engagement with the Word of God. So it is possible. If you want to be the ambassador, true ambassador of Christ, by becoming who you need to become, then the Word of God has its critical role in your life. And through this spiritual discipline of engaging yourself in a consistent and constant way is the way to go for it. So, where does the beauty of the Bible come from? Well, look, it is not superfluous to say that the Bible is the very cornerstone of our civilization. Regardless of how one may feel about it, whether people in our culture are repulsed by it or drawn to it, it still remains a fact. The Bible is the book that is the most influential book of our civilization, and it has been so for centuries and millennia. There is something about it that no other book, no other piece of literature possesses, but the Bible has it. Whether you like it or not, Bible influenced and shaped the world like no other book ever did. But what is about that word, about that book, that is so special and gives it its authority and its specialness and its beauty? Well, it comes from its natural authority, which has its roots in supernatural, which is God Himself. Psalmist is saying, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they. Who are these? These are the cultures represented in our church, and we have probably around 30, maybe even more than 30 cultures represented in our church. It is everyone, all nations, all races, all tribes, all languages. Blessed are they, blessed are you, blessed is me who walks according to the law of the Lord. For all ages and time, for all places and people, and all of its parts of the Bible is equally important. I want you to see that the word law in the text that we have read, but not only in the text of Psalm 119, but in the rest of the Old Testament and the New Testament, often uses this word, the law. Jesus, for example, says it is written in your law, but what is interesting is that he quotes Psalms. How come that Psalms are the law? Isn't that a poetry? In fact, it does belong to a category of Holy Scriptures, which is called the Psalms. And you also have the law and you also have the prophets. That was a division of a Bible. But Jesus quotes the Psalms and calls the Psalms the law. Why? Majority of biblical writing is narrative, history, or poetry. And very little part is the law. So why is it called the law? Because all of the Bible is normative. All of the Bible is binding, authoritative. It's history, it's narrative, it's poetry, it's law. Everything is binding. Do you see that? So it is asking you as a reader to subject yourself to it. The order is not that I come with my authority to the word, but I come to subject myself willingly and happily to its own authority. That's why it's called law. It's normative. It's binding. It's authoritative. And the question it is asking you, are you going to accept it? This means that what is in it is not a suggestion. On a whole, but it is relevant, it is authoritative, and it is binding. And Psalmist is talking about it in that way. You can see him being subjected willingly to it, gladly to it, accepting its authority. So, if you want your beliefs based in the Word to get their legs and to be transformative in your life, to translate into a virtue and into a character, that what you believe is what you also are, then you have to engage in a spiritual discipline of getting to the Word and accepting it as an authority to which you subject yourself fully. There's another word beside the word the law, and the word is the statutes. And that basically means that it is permanent. It is for all time and all places. Our culture from time to time wants to take a precedent. And our culture sometimes, and we have seen it in recent times, wants to have an authority over the Bible and say what is good in it and what is not good in it, what is right and what is not right about it, wants to be a judge over it. But our culture cannot sit in judgment over the Bible, but it is the other way around. Culture is limited in time. It is driven by its own self-interest. Bible is timeless, and it is driven by a global interest of a human being. All its parts are authoritative. Look what it says, all your commands are true, all your words are true. Any of you know this person? Can I see the hands of those of you who have seen it, who have maybe even listened to some of his podcasts on YouTube? The guy that I actually follow and I like to follow, some people say that he's not a believer, but I'm quite convicted, and this is just myself, that he's quite a believer. He recently had a dialogue and a conversation with a guy by the name Tim Harris. And this guy is most fascinated by the Bible. When he's asked, do you believe in God? His answer is, listen to what his answer is. He says, I believe, I live my life as if God exists. So to the question, do you believe in God? He answers, I live my life as if God exists. He has done the series of presentations. He's actually a clinical psychologist from Canada and has gone around the world and has spoken in many places. He was here in Brisbane a couple of years ago. I attended his series here when about 5,000 people came to listen to him. But he has done the series of presentations on the narratives of the Bible, but more from a psychological point of view. He debated atheists like Sam Harris, and this is what he said. The deepest questions are religious, and the Bible is the best answer we have. If you don't like that, do better. By the way, if you would go and watch his YouTube, you would probably see underneath that there's about 2 million followers. When he would go and talk about God and Bible, he addresses some of the deepest questions that you can imagine. He says, if you don't like that talking about Bible, he says, well, try to do better. Try to do better. Good luck, he said. There is wisdom in that book which is unbelievable. He believes that we are people behind everything. He says there is a narrative. We are people of a story. Yes, there is a reality of us. There is a reality around us. But undergirding everything is a narrative. It's narrative. And behind that narrative are the values and virtues. But behind those values and virtues, who is it? He says it's God. And the greatest narrative and the greatest book, he says, is the Bible. the Western culture that is drifting away from God likes to point out and likes to reap the fruit of what is positive about Christianity, all the virtues and values, but wants to divorce itself from the root of it, which is the Word of God and which is God Himself. And he says, how can you do that? How can you divorce the best of what the society gives when it comes from its beliefs, when it comes from the Word, when it comes actually from God Himself? And this is what Jesus said. Do you think that I have come to change or loosen the law or the prophets? No. I'm not going to loosen one jot or tittle. So, if you want, and everybody lives by beliefs, you can't live your life unless it is established on certain life principles. And for you as a Bible-believing Christian, the Word of God is where those beliefs come from. But if you want those beliefs to turn into a virtue and a character, you need to accept the authority of the Bible and subject yourself to it willingly and gladly. Number two principle, and it is, you need to access the power of the Bible. The power of the Bible. Unless you accept that the Bible is fully true and that it is the Word of God, and unless you accept its beauty and glory, you won't be able to access its power. And once you recognize its universal truthfulness and beauty, it will give you something which is very important and very practical. It will give you freedom, and it will give you a love for God. It will give you freedom. Bible will give you freedom and love. Look what it says. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. That's quite amazing. Many people think that this can't be so. Many people think and have this stereotypical understanding that if you are a religious person, if you read the Bible, you are straight jacketed. It can't be further from the truth. Can't be further from the truth. Psalmist is saying, somebody who got to the secret of it, I will walk in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. I understood that the principles of life hidden in your word, I gladly and happily accept, and I will walk within those principles. And they will give me a freedom that my heart desires. That's what he's saying. He's tapping into the power of the Bible. He's tapping into the power of it. The truth is, the more I give myself to God and His Word, the more free I become. What kind of freedom? I would say to you, cultural freedom, or freedom from the cultural trappings. Once you submit yourself to the Word of God, you unhook yourself from the trends and trappings of culture. Bible is timeless while culture is temporary. When you turn on television, when you watch the news, when you hear the trends, cultural trends, you can see how binding they can be, how stifling they can be. You see, if you don't make the authority of the Bible and the authority of God central to you, something else will become that. And the culture may take that place. And the trappings of culture can do that. Either you will become naturally congregating to the left of a culture, and I'm going to the right here, sorry. It's your left. I did it. Okay? Or you go to the right of a culture. And that's what's happening. Even I see Adventist Christians who embroil themselves into the left or right of politics and the philosophy behind that. And they give semblance to the gospel or to the word, when in its heart it is not. But it is just puppeting of a culture rather than transformation of the gospel. This happens over and over again. I go and I see what's happening on the Facebook. And so many of these cultural Adventists are embroiled into these cultural discussions that have semblance of the gospel but have lost the heart of the gospel. They have become the puppets of culture. And they have not embraced in fullness the gospel. What the word of God gives you is it unhooks you from the trends and trappings of culture. Bible is timeless. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let not sin rule over me. So beside freeing you culturally, Bible frees you spiritually. If God's word is not ruling over you and directing your steps, something else will. You only have a choice. Somebody said you only have a choice between God and idol. If you deny God, you will attach divine attributes to something else you want to follow. Did you get that? If you deny God, you will attach divine attributes to something else that you want to follow, because you will follow. There are no ifs and buts. You will follow something that suddenly has divine attributes, and you are going to be slavishly following that. There's no doubt. There is no doubt. If you are old enough, you know that this is true. That means that you can be even a teenager and get this. You will treat that something as God. Whatever controls you is your God. If you seek power, you will be controlled by the power. If you seek acceptance, you will be controlled by other people. Whatever you seek with all your heart, you will follow it, and it will have control over you. You will give it divine attributes, and therefore that will be your God. Bible is saying, God is saying, if you accept me, if you accept my word, it will be spiritually freeing for you. You will become a free person. You will become a free person. Spiritually free, free from the cultural trappings. How good is that? Remember, also the original question we asked is, how do you turn your beliefs so that they have their legs? So it can be transformed. You can be transformed into a virtuous and a person of a character. It's by subjecting yourself to the word of God willingly and happily. And do that in a disciplined way. Accept its authority. And then tap into its power. Tap into its power. When God's word becomes the ruler of my life, I no longer need people's approval status, and I'm not even afraid of death. There's nothing more psychologically freeing than being under the rule of God and his word. The second gift given to us is the gift of love, and specifically the gift of love for God and intimacy with God. You see, we have to read the Bible as a story of which God is the main actor and who draws us to himself into intimate relationship with him. When I discovered for myself beyond shadow of doubt that God is a person, that he is real, and that he is good God, I discovered the discipline of prayer, and I could engage and pray for an hour without any problem, and I could go even more. I just could pray, and I could spend time in the presence of God. It was after, a little after that, that the Word of God, that the Bible, I became so attracted to the Bible. So attracted to the Bible. And I started from the Gospels. I grew up in an Adventist church, but when God became real, my taste for the prayer and my taste for the Word just increased incredibly. And when I started reading, it's as if I was discovering things that I have never seen. But when you start to engage, the main actor starts to emerge from the pages of the Word. You find God. You find and gain insights about who God is. In the process, as you are finding who God is, you are finding so much about yourself. It's as if when you are seeing something in a mirror, as you are engaging with the Word, you are also looking at the mirror of who you really are. You are engaging the character of God, and in the process, you are discovering yourself like never before. That's what the Bible gives you. It reveals to you in a powerful way the main actor, which is God himself. Look what Jesus said. You search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. He speaks to Pharisees. Then he says, and it is they that bear witness of me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So the way you come and turn to this Word is to find the person. Yes, you will read about laws. Yes, you will read about poetry. But you will ultimately find the thoughts, the plans, the desires, the actions, and the will of God for your life. It will make sense. And you will be drawn to it. That's what the Bible does. Number three. So you will tap into the power of the Word. Because you will find the main actor of the Word. Subject yourself to its authority. Find the power as you find God in it. And discover ultimately the secret of the Word. When I read at the beginning the text, I wonder if some of you even felt a little bit uncomfortable, because you should have. And let me explain. Psalmist seemed to go over the top. He idolizes the Word of God. And the Word seems to be personified. Let me show you. Your statutes are my delight. Okay, just be honest. When was it last time you said this? That the statutes of God are your delight. Can't see a hand. What's wrong with you people? Okay. Let me give you another one. For I delight in your commands. Because I love them. Oh, I mean, don't be ashamed to put up your hand. That's okay. Just do it. That's fine. But here is where you should at least scratch your head for this one. I lift up my hands to your commands. Who has done that last time? If you lift up your hands, what are you doing actually? You're worshiping. Look what Psalmist is saying. I lift up my hands to your commands. He is personifying the word. That's what he's doing. He's personifying it. Do you like this picture? Do you like it? I love it. Because that's ultimately what the word is. The word did become flesh. The word became flesh. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jordan Peterson would say, if you can come up, anybody out there in this world, and mind you, he's one of the most influential intellectuals the world has. He has thrown the gauntlet that says, anybody out there, come up with something better than the Bible. Good luck. Good luck. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God expressed himself in two ways, the written word and the embodied word. The written word gives insight into his thoughts, desires, plans, actions, and will for us. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. I can see my sons now are being excited about books, and they are engaging with deeper issues of life. And I love seeing that. And I love when people want to engage into deeper issues of life and read many books. But I'm saying to you that there is no book that comes even close to this one. And I'm really not saying this because I'm a church pastor, because I know, I have personally experienced that this is true. I have read many books, but none has given me an incredible pleasure, incredible insight, incredible understanding. And the intimacy that I have with God as this book has given me. It has given me insight about him. It has given me such an incredible insight about myself and God. And I want to challenge you to start engaging with the word. You ask me, where do I start? Start, doesn't matter where you start. Remember that you can rely on the promise of Jesus, which says that I have sent you another counselor who will teach you. That's what you want. When you come to the Bible, you want to be taught. So start, let's say, from the Gospels and say, okay, teach me now. Teach me. Teach me. You have given me brain. Teach me about you. Teach me about myself. And read. And if you are versed in a computer and you sit beside a computer in front of a computer, open two words, you know, word where you can write and this word. And just read a passage. Read a passage. And when you read it and you say, huh, I got nothing. Slow down, mate. Slow down. You have come to the mine. And when you come to the mine, you need to start digging. Okay? So read it again. And pray. So it requires work. It requires work. And the work is thinking. The work is praying. Pray. See the word that grabs your attention. Meditate on it. Pray about it. And then things start to open up. And they open up. And they open up. Write it down. Write it down. And they will give you insight about who God is. They will give you insight about who Jesus was. They will give you insight about who you are. Write. Read. Meditate. Pray. Engage with the Word. Tap into its power. But God's Word came ultimately in the form of flesh. Why? The ultimate intimacy and love can only be with a person. God's thoughts, desires, plans, actions, and will are ultimately displayed in a person. That is a person of Jesus Christ. God displayed the ultimate love for us when Jesus came to die for us and save us from our sin and save us for himself. Talking about going back to basics, I present to you two disciplines. One is prayer, and we talked about prayer. Pray freely. Pray when you drive, but make sure that you pray by setting aside the time for prayer. Time for prayer. But then set aside the time for this book. This book. Open it. And start digging. Rely on the promise that he is going to send the Spirit who will enlighten you and draw you to the main actor. Draw you to the main actor. About whom you will understand so much more. You will understand about yourself and you will tap into the power of the written word and embodied word, which is Jesus Christ. And you will be embraced in his saving arms. When you start loving the written word, you start loving the embodied word. And the truth is also this. When you start loving the embodied word, you start loving the written word. Do you want to come back to basics? Let us be the people of the word. Just last week, I was reading chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew, and I have gained insights that I have never had. And I invite you to have that attitude towards the word. You will never ever regret. It gives you ultimate freedom. It gives you love in your heart. It gives you power that you need. It brings you to the Savior that you need. Be set free from cultural trappings and connect yourself to the timeless Word of God. This is my prayer for you. Amen.